Once again, it's time for the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri with you today on the Pastor Study. We're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. Today we'll be covering verses 113 through 120. And our study is entitled, God's Word, My Crutch. God's Word, My Crutch. In fact, we see this stanza, verses 113 to 120, we have the Hebrew word samach, or the letter samach, and it means prop or support. And a crutch is used to prop something up, is it not, that cannot stand alone. Crutches are for those who need help to support themselves. A crutch is for someone who has trouble walking on their own. In fact, some accuse Christians as using the Bible as a crutch. A crutch is something we trust to support us. The truth is, everyone has a crutch of some kind. For one, it could be drugs, alcohol, or tobacco. For another, it might be religion or education. The psalmist said his crutch or his support was the Word of God. Look at in Psalm 119 what he says in verse 114. He says, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Look in verse 116. Uphold me. See, support me. Uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. And then verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect under thy statutes continually. In this 15th stanza of the 119th Psalm, we see the psalmist, his focus is upon God. Within our study today, we're going to look at five main points, and they are as follows. Number one, God's attitudes are expressed, and we'll see that in verse 113. Number two, God's assistance is established, and we'll look at that in verses 114, 116, and 117. Number three, godless adversaries are expelled in verse 115. Number four, God's avengement will be executed, verses 118 to 119. And then the fifth and final point we'll look at is, godly awe is excited, verse 120. So let's begin with point number one. Godly attitudes are expressed. Godly attitudes are expressed. Amen. When God's word is your crutch, then godly attitudes are expressed. Look at in verse 113. The psalmist writes, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Attributes of love versus hate are contrasted. What you love determines what you hate. When you love God's word, you will hate anything that goes contrary to God's word. Amen? Look in verse 163 of Psalm 119. He says, the psalmist says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Again, we see a contrast. Amen? Something the psalmist loves and something that he hates. He hates and abhors lying, but he loves God's word, the law, amen? Hatred for the rising of sin. When God's word is your crutch, you will express godly attitudes. First one is hatred for the rising of sin. The first, in other words, the first beginning of it. Sin starts with vain thoughts. Vain thoughts, my friend, make a poor crutch. In fact, the word vain means worthless. The thoughts of man are vanities. The thoughts of God are verities, which mean truth, fact, reality. We also, as we look at hating the rising of sin, which goes along with that, we should hate empty thoughts. What are empty thoughts? Thoughts that go nowhere. What occupies your thoughts? Amen. Ball game scores, soap opera plots. He says, the psalmist says here, I hate vain thoughts because of what they do to me. They distract me from what I should love, God's law. If it distracts you from the love of the Bible, then you should hate it, my friend. Anything that distracts you from the love of the Bible, you should hate. So you should hate empty thoughts. You should hate envious thoughts. Covetousness. We have a good example of that of the rich man. The rich man in Matthew chapter 19. We'll come back here in just a moment to Psalm 119. But looking in Matthew chapter 19 for a moment, and we want to see here in Matthew chapter 19, we have a rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked him a question here. In verse 17 of Matthew 19, and he said unto him, let's back up and begin in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And he goes on, he says, Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, he didn't say if you were to be sinless, because you can't be sinless, but perfect in the sense of being right with God. Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. See, he was covetous. Amen. His thoughts revolved around material things. You know, he kept most of the commandments, but he lacked one thing. That sin of covetousness. Coveting something. Amen. Coveting something that belongs to someone else. We should also hate evil thoughts. You know, like his lust, the things that make us lust. Amen. Erroneous thoughts. We should hate erroneous thoughts, like the so-called theory of evolution. Amen. We should hate egotistical thoughts. Thoughts that are self-centered. There's some good example of such thoughts in the Bible. One individual comes to mind is Naaman. Remember Naaman the Syrian? He was a great military man, but there was one thing. He had leprosy. And he had his idea on how that leprosy should be healed. See? He was told to go and dip himself in the Jordan 7 times, and he would be healed. Amen? But look at in 2 Kings with me. We got to see this man's attitude. 2 Kings chapter 5 in verse 11. See, Elisha had told him what to do to heal his leprosy, that he should go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And of course, this guy got all bent out of shape, because his idea was this on how we should be healed. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy.'" That was his idea of how he should have been healed. Amen. So that guy had a problem. He was egotistical. How about in the book of Esther? Haman. He was a puffed up dude, was he not? Look at this in Esther chapter 6. Here's a good one. Here's another nugget, another egotist. Amen. Haman. Esther chapter 6. Beginning in verse 6. "So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, 'What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?'" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" So he thinks, hey, the king, and in other words, he's an egotist. He's thinking about himself and himself alone. So he's thinking the king is talking about him, Haman. So Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal, which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princesses, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" So he thinks this is what's going to happen to him, and he's recommending it to the king. Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, you know, hurry up. Take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai, the Jew." Oh my goodness, he hated Mordecai. Amen. So we need to hate egotistical thoughts. Amen. And we also need to hate extravagant thoughts. Remember the rich fool in Luke chapter 12? He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Amen. In Luke chapter 12, something interesting. Let's take a look there. In Luke chapter 12. So here's a guy that's rich. Amen. He's a rich fool. He had so much. He had the land produced so much that he had nowhere to store it. So he says, "I'm going to build bigger barns to put in it." Amen. Made no provisions. Amen. Could have given his access to the poor to help the poor. Amen. But notice what God says to him in verse 20 of Luke chapter 12. Look at this. God had other plans for this guy. "But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?'" He says, "What's going to happen to your stuff? You know, you're dying tonight. All that stuff you were thinking about, you're going to be to build the barns, and you've laid up no treasure in heaven. You're bankrupt when it comes spiritually. You see, our thoughts must center on God and His Word. Otherwise, we're heading for sin." Amen. Otherwise, we're heading for sin. God's Word promotes freedom and strength. It's a good crutch. I thank God the Word of God is my crutch. Amen. I'm not ashamed. I praise the Lord. Point number two. When God's Word is your crutch, God's assistance is established. Now, we got to go back to Psalm 119 with me. And let's look at verses 114. First, let me make a comment before I continue. He is talking about, the psalmist is talking about trusting God. We must learn who to trust. We cannot trust vain thoughts, as the psalmist said. I hate vain thoughts in verse 113. But notice, verse 114, what he says. Thou art my hiding place in my shield. I hope in thy word. See, he's saying, to get at me, you would first have to get past God in his word. Amen? And it's impregnable. Nothing can break through. The shield of faith. Hope. Trust in God's word brings protection, my friend. Also, we see here in verse 114, prophetic fulfillment in the great tribulation when the Jews are protected by God. Amen? So we're talking about when God's word is your crutch, God's assistance is established. It's your shield, as the psalmist wrote, my shield. Also, he says in verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. He's saying the word of God is my support. God's word is the upholder of the universe. God's word is my means of support, he says, and it should be our means of support. Let's compare what the word of God says also in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. The world is held together by the word of God, by God's word. Also, the psalmist talks about the word of God being his crutch, not only my shield, my support, but my safety. Look at Psalm verse 117. He says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. See? My safety. Unless God has got a hold of you, my friend, you are not safe. Moving on quickly to point number 3. When God's word is your crutch, godless adversaries are expelled. 115. Verse 115, Psalm 119. He says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep thy commandments of my God. To whomever the Lord says, depart. Amen. We should say, depart. Amen. We see, for example, a couple of places in Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew, where our Lord says, depart. First of all, Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. And then will I profess unto you, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, there's a group here that claim to know the Lord, and they did so-called works in the name of the Lord. He's going to say, I never knew them, the Lord's going to say. Depart. Depart from me that work iniquity. We should depart from those that work iniquity, should we not? Also, look in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, another place the Lord says to depart. Matthew 25. Verse 41. Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. And of course, doctrinally, this is applying to the nations who do not take care of the Jew during the tribulation. Amen. But we should depart from those who are cursed, who want nothing to do with God. Amen. Point number 4. When God's word is your crutch, God's avengement will be executed. Look at it in verse 118 of Psalm 119. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You see, all departures from God's statutes end in error. It will prove fatal. See, their cunning is falsehood. Devil's very cunning, but he's a liar. Amen. He's false. Amen. But all departures from God's statutes end in error and will prove fatal. Amen. You know, what a good example of that will be what people believe on how someone is to be saved or right with God. Now, the Bible says for an individual to be right with God, first of all, they have to acknowledge they're a sinner. And as a result of being a sinner, as the Bible says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible, the Word of God says we're all sinners. And as a result of our sin, there's a payment for the wages of sin is death. Death, not just physical death, but we have a part of us that is eternal, that's the soul, will expend either time eternity in hell, the lake of fire, the hell will eventually be cast into the lake of fire, or heaven. Amen. But as a result of being a sinner, the wages of sin is death. That means eternal damnation, separation from God in a lake of fire for eternity. That's the bad news. The good news is, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for every individual sin that has ever been committed, past, present, and future. Amen. And so what an individual needs to do is call upon the name of the Lord, receiving that free gift, that sacrifice, that blood atonement to cover their sins, to be saved, to know they're going to heaven. But there are so many false doctrines because people turn away from God's word, from a statute, don't rightly divide it. Some people think that you can earn your way to heaven, but they're still not sure. How many good works do you need to do to get to heaven? Or there are those that believe that once you do, you believe in the Lord, you're saved, but you can also lose it. We have eternal security. Others believe that you're saved by water baptism. Why? Because they've departed from God's statutes. Amen. And there's a day coming which will put the wicked into everlasting fire, which is the fit place for the dross. And of course, this will be fulfilled in Daniel's 70th week. Our last point here is, number five, when God's word is your crutch, godly awe is excited. In verse 120 of Psalm 119, the word of God says, my flesh trembleth for the fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Now, the trembling was a result of what he said in verses 118 and 119, which is, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. See? He sees, he knows what God, the psalmist knows what God is going to do to those that have erred from his statutes, who have been deceitful in their falsehood. He knows that God is going to trodden them underfoot, and he's going to put them all away, the wicked of the earth, like dross. You know, dross is the impurities. When they heat metal, they skim it off. Now, when a person really believes what God says about certain things, it will make his flesh crawl. His flesh creeps when he thinks on the historical acts of God's judgment. Amen. David was afraid upon the judgment of Uzzah. We got to see this in 1 Chronicles, chapter 13. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, look at this. King David was afraid. Let's look at the incident that made him afraid. 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 10. Listen to what it says here. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. See, the ark was starting to stumble. And he put his hand to steady the ark. Now, God had given clear instructions how the ark was to be transported. They were to put staves, amen, one on either side, either corner of that ark, and it was to be carried. They didn't do it. And notice, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David, listen to this, and David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? We also see that Elijah calls down fire down from heaven on the company of the 50s. Amen. And it caused them to be afraid. 2 Kings, chapter 9. 2 Kings, chapter 9 with me to find this incident here. 2 Kings, chapter 1, verse 9. We read here, and then the king sent unto him a captain of 50s with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him, his 50. Again, they sent out another captain of 50. And again, he called down fire. Amen. And a third time, they sent again a captain of a third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees. Amen. Because he didn't want to be destroyed. Amen. Like the other two companies of 50 that went before him. He believed God's word, and he was afraid. He was terrified. How about fear came upon the church because of the death of Ananias and Sapphira, remember? They lied to Barnabas. They said they had some property, and they sold it for so much. And they kept back a portion. And they lied. And they dropped dead. And the judgment seat of Christ for every believer should excite fear, as Paul wrote, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. So when God's word is your crutch, God's awe is excited. Amen. When a person really believes what God says about a certain thing, or certain things, it will make his flesh crawl, his flesh creeps when he thinks of the historical acts of God's judgment. That concludes our lesson, our study today on Psalm 119, God's Word, My Crutch.